Each and every one of you has a purpose to your life, a reason you are here at this time in the world. Souls incarnate when there is a suitable circumstance for them to express the built-up reactions of mind, the sanskaras that lay in potential. Without human birth, it is impossible to resolve these sanskaras. So it is a great blessing and a rare circumstance to attain a human birth. The human birth allows you to have the opportunity to resolve these reactions of mind from the past that your soul has carried forward life upon life. When you have this human opportunity, if you take the ideation that everyone and everything is the form of Brahma, the form of the infinite, and that only the infinite acts in this world, then you cease to acquire the reactions of your actions, recognizing that the infinite Brahma is at play in all of creation. You cease to be the doer of your deeds, recognizing that only the infinite has the power of doing. And only the infinite receives the deeds done. Thus, in this understanding, all the reactions to deeds done go to that which I identified as the doer. When your soul, your essence, does not identify with doership, then the cycle of action and reaction begins to cease. You begin to feel that you are the witness of your life. You are the cosmic witness, witnessing the play of creation, witnessing the doing, witnessing the receiving, witnessing the dance, the play, the lila of creation. As you move into this understanding of the power of the infinite over all actions done in the world, you begin to be able to unravel the play of sanskara. For as you come into life, there is a purpose. That purpose relates to the intentions and reactions of mind you have had in the past and you have brought forward with you. They will make a suitable circumstance for you to find their expression. Some lives may be very difficult, some lives very easy, and everything in between. As these inner callings and urges begin to unfold, in this you find your personal expression, your personal dharma. When that unfoldment is aligned with the infinite, in harmony with the infinite. Then your calling in this life unfolds. And all of your reactions of mind get directed through that calling into your expression in the world. And slowly, slowly through your experience, you begin to learn the nature of love. This life is an opportunity and a teaching, a time to grow, a time to learn, a time to resolve the illusions in the mind and find the depths of your own being, to come to know the infinite in the play of creation and in the silence of being. It's fine to lay down, but don't sleep. If you are sleepy, get up. When you are resolving these urges of the mind, these beliefs that are held deep within you, they come out. Circumstances happen. How you react to those circumstances makes a difference. If you react simply from your conditioned mind, you simply perpetuate the deep grooves that are already there. But if you awaken in the action and you see the infinite Brahma and you feel the presence of Brahma acting in the world, then those conditioned responses, those conditioned beliefs and responses, reactions, cease to dominate you. See the Lord's hand in all that happens in your life. Honor the Infinite One in all that you do. Make your life a service to the infinite in all that you think, all that you do, and all that you are. Become one with the intent of the divine. For that one can do many tasks at once, but only has one intention. And that intention is that all beings should come to the light, that all beings should recognize their true nature, that all beings find the love that is their essence. That all beings come home. That is the only intent of Parama Purusha. though he can do many actions, all the actions in the created universe are done within the cosmic mind, in the play of creation, by the doer of all deeds. So it is nothing but vanity to think that you are the doer of your deeds. It is a false assumption of ego, a belief that you are somehow separate. When you allow yourself to melt back softly into the infinite, that one is your guide, is your home. And through you, that one expresses in the world. Make your expression sweet and in harmony with the universe. There are times when it is necessary to fight for Dharma. There are times when love has a strong hand, a firm hand. But let those be guided. Let those be the actions of the infinite through you. Learn to love deeply and fully. The body you have is the temple of God. Treat it with the respect you would treat a holy place. The mind you have is the sanctuary. Treat it with reverence. Clean it well. Make it ready for the infinite. And your heart is the inner sanctum of the divine. No one is alone or helpless in this world. Each and every one of you is the child of the infinite, and that divine one is with you. Paramapurusha is with you, your closest friend, your greatest ally. Surrender your life. Give your life to that infinite one. Let that one be in you and serve him in all beings. Serve her in all beings. Never diminish yourself, never degrade yourself. That is only pride twisting itself. Do no harm intentionally. And that is sometimes difficult because an action may appear harmful, but when you have to choose between two harms, always take the lesser one. Love yourself unconditionally. Can you care for yourself? Can you see God within you as a bright light of infinite love in your soul, in your heart? Can you see it? That radiant light of infinite love. It's the base of who you are. It's your foundation. It's who you really are. All the rest is a story you tell yourself. Because you have a body and senses and motor organs, you tell yourself messages that are conditioned by that experience about who you are. Because you have a mind that can think, you tell yourself ideas, beliefs about who you are. They're all passing. They're all transitory. Only that infinite love, that infinite indwelling self is eternal. Everything else is a belief you have acquired someplace or other along the way. To practice yoga is to practice deep self-honesty. Honestly looking at who you are, not your beliefs about yourself. Going deep into the light that shines in your soul, the light of conscious, intelligent awareness, the brilliant light of love unconditional, of truth. Go deep in your self-honesty. Look at the shadows that you hold and your attachment to them. The self-depreciations you hold and your attachment to them. The negative beliefs you hold about yourself and your attachment to them. Why do they remain? Your attachment is perhaps stronger than you realize. Can you let them go? Can you feel the light, the love and grace of the infinite self? Thoughts and beliefs come and go. The self is eternal. When you practice satya, it is a deep self-honesty. All of the yamas and niyamas are there so that you may act in alignment, think in alignment with your deep nature. Train your mind. They are a kind of training exercises for the mind. From non-injury to Ishvara Pranidhan, surrender to God. They show the way of right living in this world and for a happy life. Each of you has your own burdens in this life, your own pain, your own struggles. And sometimes when they are great, you may think, ah, why do I have such burdens in my life? What is wrong with me? Why am I not having a better life? Many people think like this. You are not alone when these thoughts come. But if you see these burdens are the grace of the infinite to allow you to deepen in your love, to deepen in your compassion, to surrender your vanity and your ego, and to know the truth, the deep love within, the eternal, immortal self. If your life were perfect and everything went your way and you got everything you wanted, you would soon find a very hollow life. And you would find a discontent if you really thought about it, with all of your success. So there is no great success, and to covet the success of another is to only foster discontent with yourself. You do not know the pain and struggles of another, even those who seem to have the best of lives, may harbor deeper pain than you realize, deeper than your own, though it does not show on the surface. You may think, oh, if I only had that life, then things would be good. But even those who are the most successful eventually find the hollowness within, the hollowness of their success, and must look inside for truth and love. So it's no use envying others. It's only a kind of self-depreciation. And acquiring more and more to secure yourself. This also is a faulty approach. It never works. Those who seem to have great wealth, are they happy? Usually not. And if they are, it is not because of their wealth. The true wealth is in your heart. The love that you have and that you share. living in simplicity, seeing God everywhere, recognizing that that one is the doer of all actions, avoiding harm, being deeply self-honest, practicing selfless love, practicing self-reflection, going to those things which can inspire you, reading that which can inspire you to truth, and deeply reflecting inside. Finding contentment with who you are and the life that you have. Can you feel that deep contentment in being you, in what God has given to you in your life? Can you find the peace and practice this contentment? Along with the practice of purity of heart and mind, letting go of the dust and dirt in the mind and the heart, as well as in the body. These practices bring you to your eternal nature. And the final practice, surrender to God. Surrender to God. Surrender to love. Truth. Light. Surrender to the one infinite, intelligent, all-compassionate, loving being, the eternal self of all. Let that intelligence of the universe, that infinite source, surround you, permeate you, be in you, with you. Feel the shower of grace. And humbly accept that grace. All right.